Welcome to Fusion, a podcast for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Casey List from Analog and Rosemary Orchard from Automators to talk about the iPhone 13 and, if we have time, the new iPad Mini. Casey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Yeah, I'm excited because, you know, there's blue iPhones because apparently that's better than purple.
Oh, and it begins.
I saw a purple iPhone 12 in the wild just yesterday or 2 days ago. It's the only one I've ever seen.
Oh.
Because, you know, it came out, I guess, in the spring, and then they were like, new color, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you've got a rare phone there. I didn't actually go talk to the person because, you know, there's a pandemic and I'm an introvert, but, you know, I thought it.
Yeah, no, I have a 12 mini here on my desk in purple and I love it. It's gorgeous. And unfortunately, I've been told that a claim has been laid to it, so I can't just keep it on my desk as a piece of artwork, which is unfortunate. Apparently, my mom wants a new iPhone. How dare she?
It's funny you say that because my 12, I got the, what was it, midnight blue or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And some very close family friends of ours were sniffing around for new iPhones. And I was like, well, I've got one of these, new to them iPhones. And, you know, I've got one of these. And she said, oh, I'll take that blue one. And I was like, okay, great. Oh, like on the one side, I'm glad to get rid of it and get a little money for it. But on the other side, it's mm-hmm. so pretty. And actually, that's a perfect segue, I suppose. So I have a Sierra Blue 256 gig 13 human sized, and I like this blue. I am not head over heels in love with the blue. And the thing I don't like about it is that it isn't always blue, as silly as that sounds. Like in certain light, it seems like a blue hinted gray, which isn't necessarily bad. Like it's not that it looks bad, but I don't know. I wish it was a little stronger, bolder, perhaps. I'm sad that Apple won't give us really bright and cool colors on the professional devices.
Yeah, same. I like the fact that it picks up purples because obviously I love purple. So everything in my house is purple pretty much. So it means that it frequently looks quite purple. And then I take it outside and I'm instantly disappointed because it's actually blue. But the wisteria case is lovely. I'm very pleased. At the very least, if you're not going to give me a purple iPhone, give me purple accessories. So wisteria, English lavender, dark cherry, all good purples.
Now, is that case the silicone case
leather,
or is that, it's leather. Okay. Because I was going to say that, Erin, my wife got I think it's pink sand or whatever the light pink silicone case is. And I was surprised by how much I liked it. I don't know if you guys have handled a silicone case from this Mm-mm. generation, but in the past I always found that it was too grippy for my taste. And mm-hmm. it also felt a little bit cheap in my opinion. Like it didn't feel actively bad, but it did not feel like that kind of awesome Apple quality. And this year's, I don't feel either of those things. It's still probably a little bit too grippy for a trouser pocket. But nevertheless, it's not nearly as grippy as it had been in the past. And I actually really, really like hers. I ended up with, I just got it yesterday, a Nudient case, which is similar in spirit, although it's, you know, third party, and I like it for the most part. It has cutouts for the buttons, which I think are not quite easily accessible enough. Like the lock button in particular, I feel like I'm mashing down on it in order to hit it. But by and large, I like this case just fine. I don't know, Stephen, what did you end up with? Did you get a oversized phone or did you get a human sized phone?
I got the size of phone that is perfect, the iPhone 13 Pro Max. I did it in Sierra Blue. I talked about this in my shows. I generally bounce between like whatever the dark color is, so like space gray or graphite, you know, they've changed the name over the years, and then the silver. And I've really liked the 12 Pro, and even going back to like the 10 Aero, since we've had the stainless steel sides, I've liked the white because I like shiny stainless steel. And mm-hmm. I think it, you know, it ages, and I like the way that it ages. And so I've had several white and silver iPhones in a row. And this time I was thinking, well, maybe I do graphite, but I don't really like the dark stainless. I've never had like an iPhone that's like one of the colors. Like I'd never had midnight green or the Pacific blue, never had the gold. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. My wife talked me into it. And I've got to say, I really like it. It's really nice looking. I I'm fascinated, like, how much the color will change. Like, in my office here, it looks almost like a gray blue, but outside it's more blue. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly, you have blue skies, because I take it outside and it's just reflecting the clouds back at me. And it's just...
Yeah, that's a location issue, I think. And so, yeah, I like it. I even like the blue stainless steel sides. They're much closer to the sort of raw stainless steel than, like, the dark, I guess it's the PVD coating is what they use on the to make the stainless steel dark, but I'm very happy with it. I'm less enthusiastic about my case. I've got I use the leather cases, and I've got the Midnight one. I would, you know, it looks good with this phone, but it's definitely not black. And, like, I just don't know why Apple doesn't have, like, some standard case colors this year. Like, the whole palette this year seems very unusual to me. Maybe it's just not my personal taste, and it's probably very popular out in the real world, but
No, I feel the same way. Like, last year, so for years and years and years, Aaron always got the light pink silicone case, and it had, like, different names, pink sand or whatever, but it was always the light pink case. And last year for her 12 Pro, it wasn't available. They weren't making it. And I was too slow, or we were too slow, to get her something equivalent that isn't Apple made. And within the first week of ownership, she pulled a Casey and shattered the back of the phone. And it's still that way today. This year, thankfully, they brought back the light pink. But I agree with you, particularly on the leather side of things. I feel like the palette is a little bit unusual to me. And I don't know, maybe I'm just old and boring. I am old and boring, but I would really love a case that matched the phone. Like, if Apple sold a Sierra blue leather case, that's what I would have gone with. And I ended up buying a black leather case, and I haven't even opened it, and I plan on returning it later today because I wanted something that at least vaguely resembles the color of the phone. And this Nudient case, I think it's like sky blue or something like that. And it at least vaguely resembles the color of the phone. So I don't know. I used to be a leather case guy for years and years, an Apple leather case guy for years and years, and now, because of their, in my opinion, crummy color choices, I've had to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I always end up buying new cases as the year goes on anyway, just because I'm clumsy and my cases take a beating, and it's better that my cases take a beating than my phone takes a beating, so I end up with different ones. But yeah, looking at the color choices, I don't understand why there isn't a black, because I've seen a lot of people on social media complaining that they wanted a black case, so they bought Midnight, and it turns out it's not black, but it's almost black, but it's not quite black. So it both doesn't satisfy people who wanted a dark blue, and it doesn't satisfy people who wanted black, which is very unfortunate. And so it would be nice if they had those standard options. And, you know, they've proven that they can do the MagSafe battery pack in white, so maybe even a white phone case. So apparently some companies don't even buy people who they buy iPhones for cases, which is just ridiculous. But I can imagine black or white being a sort of standard issue with your corporate device, you know, cover. Whereas, as it is, the only standard product color in the lineup seems to be product red.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I agree with you. I don't know. Again, maybe I'm just old and boring, but I would like the option, as you said, of a couple of traditional colors, and then, like, get crazy with the rest of them. You know, like, give me the neon colors. Why not? I mean, pros are allowed to have fun too, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It drives me bananas.
Yeah, I quote this pretty often because it's such a ridiculous statement, but when they introduced the Mac Mini at that New York event, they're like, it's space gray. We know pros are going to love that. It's like, I'm a pro. Hey, I do not care. Also, you made a Mac Pro a year later that's decidedly not space gray. So, you know, get your act together. The thing that I really want to get to, though, is why y'all upgraded, and why we think, you know, if someone's out there and they're on a 10 or a 10S or something, you know, they're on that 2 or 3 year cycle, like, what do y'all think are the headline features for this phone? What about you, Rosemary?
Well, for me, one of the primary reasons for upgrading, there were two primary reasons, because I was on a 12 mini before. So one of them was battery life. Well, I could have actually got better battery life with the 13 mini, versus the 12 mini, because the battery life has significantly improved with this generation of iPhones, which is impressive. But the other thing was the optical image stabilization in all the lenses. I am an aspirational photographer, which means I own a very nice point and shoot camera. I did sell the DSLR because I wasn't taking it places, but I intend to take good pictures, and it's better if you actually have a device with you that can take really good pictures. And especially with the macro photography in the I believe it's telephoto lens that they're using for that. It, you know, that having optical image stabilization means that it's much easier to get some really beautiful shots of things. And, you know, the best camera is the one you have with you, right? That's one of the reasons people upgrade their iPhones on a regular basis. And so for me, that was it. I also wanted to try the Pro size with the flat sides, because I tried the Pro Max with the flat sides, and it was a frisbee slash dinner tray, more frisbee than dinner tray, which was not good because those things are quite heavy if they hit you. And the Pro, I had to check in settings multiple times to make sure I didn't accidentally order a Pro Max, because this thing feels huge. But fortunately, with the MagSafe pop socket, it's not so bad. But yeah, it was mostly for me camera and battery life why I upgraded. Though I will note that Jason Snell had a great article on 6 colors about what you get if you upgrade from different older versions of the iPhone, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, that was really, really well done. For me, it's definitely cameras. I think if you have either kids or pets, or if you're an aspiring photographer, camera. I haven't had a lot of time, because I never leave my house, to really stretch the camera's legs and see what I can do with it. However, my initial impressions is that it's very good. The macro photography is, I've only dabbled with it a couple times, but it is very impressive. Stabilization seems good. But the other thing that I didn't realize how much I would like, and this is the part of the show where Steven takes a nap. Holy cow, ProMotion is so good. And, oh, help me. Hashtag Mike was right. It is really, really good. I picked up the phone, you know, I unlocked it, or, you know, what I was doing, the setup, and I didn't really notice it at first, but as soon as I landed on what vaguely resembled my home screen from my prior phone, and I start doing things on the phone, and I'm looking at the animations as apps are opening and closing, I think to myself, wow, this is really crisp. I wonder, oh, that's ProMotion in action, isn't it? And oh my gosh, I don't think I can go back. I am absolutely ruined now. Mike was right. It is so good. And I genuinely feel bad for you, Steven, that it destroys your brain, because it looks so nice.
Yeah, I tried. I tried.
Did you try again?
And it's just, there's something about it that just, it. I mean, I've said it before, but it's like the closest thing I can get to it is like it makes my brain vibrate. And
that seems like an unfortunate side effect.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I could do it when I was younger, because I used to also not get motion sick, and now I do really badly. So I don't know what the deal is. Maybe they're related.
Yeah, I don't know. But I really like ProMotion a lot. I've been very impressed with it. It's not, you know, as much as I say I can't live without it, like, that's not really true. It's just delightful, and it just makes everything look better. And it's like, if you were to run a computer at like 30 hertz, you know, it kind of looks crummy, but you could get used to it. But then you flip to 60 hertz and you're like, oh wow, this is what it's supposed to look like. I feel like the 120 hertz on ProMotion is what it's supposed to look like, and it feels really good. I'm simultaneously, and this is unrelated, doing a carrier test. I'm seeing if I want to switch away from AT&T, and so I'm doing something where I'm using T-Mobile simultaneously with AT&T, which means my battery life is but I think that's a completely self-created issue. And plus, I'm coming from a 12 Pro, where my battery life wasn't exactly terrible anyway. But in a couple of weeks, I'll be done with this simultaneous test, and I'm really anxious and excited to see what the battery life is like then. Rosemary, is it vastly improved so far in your limited testing?
Well, I mean, I had the Mini before, so battery life was like, oh, I made it from the living room to the office, better put it back on charge now. you know, that MagSafe battery pack, the Anker magnetic battery pack, all of those were good friends of mine. Still are, because they work on my new phone as well, which is great. I have to say, actually, you reminded me of the other thing that is actually a selling point for me. I understand it might not be a selling point for other people: dual eSIM. And that is where you can have two digital SIM cards in your phone and a physical SIM card. Because one of the things before, I was always on the fence of, do I want an eSIM or do I want a physical SIM? Because when I travel, if I'm traveling, I'm going to be using a lot of data. The best solution is always picking up a local SIM card. But if you can get a local eSIM, but you're already using an eSIM, you're kind of stuffed. You have to get a physical SIM, whereas now I have the option wherever I go of getting an eSIM or a digital SIM, because I will be switching to a provider here in the UK who uses eSIM in a couple of days, actually. That'll hopefully switch over without problems, I think. I'll find out. I'm transferring carrier, and I'm taking my number with me, and I'm switching to eSIM. So there's multiple possible points of failure.
Oh, goodness.
Which is good fun. But I think that is something that is useful for people, especially people who work for themselves, or they've got a work provided number, but they don't necessarily want to carry multiple phones. Being able to have potentially two eSIMs in their phone could be really useful for things like that, just because, you know, you can spin up a number for your business in seconds, and you don't have to deal with extra bits of plastic which could get lost, or, as a friend discovered recently, left at the Apple store after they fixed his iPhone.
Oh no,
that's not good.
Yeah, had to order a new one, and the phone company wanted to send him a text to confirm it. That was the bit that made me go, really?
Whoops.
You've thought that through, have you?
I know, Stephen, what brought you to the 13?
A crippling desire for the newest hardware.
Fair. Absolutely fair.
I mean, I do it every year. I'll talk about my wife, though. She had the 12 mm-hmm. mini, and all I told her was 13 mini, an hour and a half extra battery life. And she said, what colors do they have? Like, she was in. She likes a small phone. She was on the SE2 before mm-hmm. this, and so was psyched that the mini was teeny tiny. And the battery life is what got her to update. Of course, who knows what the future of the mini contains, you know, what it will hold. But I think if you had a 12 mini and you want to stay that size, it's a pretty good year over year update.
Now, was your last phone a Pro Max as well, or was it a regular Pro?
I initially had the regular 12 Pro, and then I moved to the Max, like, sort of mid-cycle.
Okay, because I know you've waffled back and forth more than your connected co-hosts have, and I think there have been, if I recall correctly, there have been times that you spent months on the non-Max size. Is that accurate, or am I making that up?
Yeah, I had the 12 Pro for probably a third of the cycle, maybe. So maybe mm-hmm. maybe mm-hmm. several months. And then a friend of mine was like looking for a phone, and I was kind of thinking I wanted to do the Pro Max instead. And so I made a deal with him and just moved over. But there was no waffling this time. Firmly in the camp. It's great. If you can manage it. I mean, it's definitely not for everybody, right? Like, objectively, it's a ridiculous phone. Like, I'm just looking at it now. Like, I mean, it's hilarious. Yeah. But
like,
It's also, if it's the thing for you, then it's like perfect, right? But it's definitely not the thing for everybody. And I mean, even the 12 Pro, like, I mean, what they're going to sell the most of these new phones is the regular 13. I mean, you know, not the Pros. And so I understand that I'm an outlier. I just think it's probably a more popular outlier position than the Mini ever could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I was looking at it, and so I managed to relocate the 12 Pro Max that I had before the Mini. You know, went to the family member and said, I need to borrow this for an hour. What, can I have it back afterwards? Yes, you can have your phone back afterwards. I just need to take some pictures, because I was comparing it to the iPad Mini, which I got as well. And I put my Pro next to it. I put the Pro Max next to it. The Pro is the same height as the iPad Mini. Like, a Pro is half the size of an iPad Mini almost. The Pro Max is actually bigger. Like, if you turn it around, or at least it was when I compared it in the, I think it was the Apple Silicon case. I'm not 100% sure anymore. But wow, that thing is, you know, big. And, you know, I've had it before, and I've said this before, women's clothing tends not to have pockets. And if it does have pockets, it's mm-hmm. ridiculously tiny. So you're not going to fit even a mini-sized iPhone in there most of the time. So I have previously embraced it. I had the XS Max, I had the 12 Pro Max, I had the 10, and I had the 11 Pro as well. But the 13 Pro, I think, is just, you know, like, if I'm going to get a big phone, then this is reasonable. And, you know, with the help of a pop socket, I can still get my thumb from the bottom right corner over to the top left without dropping it. So that for me is, you know, obviously reachability is a feature. I use it, but being able to just reach up as well with your thumb instead of having to do this awkward shuffle of I'll put my phone in my other hand and then tap on it, or I'll try and use my left hand even though it's got stuff in it, is just a little awkward. So for me, the 13 hits a sweet spot size-wise, or the Pro rather.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens next year. There's a bunch of rumors that there's going to be an iPhone 14 and 14 Max, and then 14 Pro and 14 Pro Max. Because Apple hasn't ever really made a big, cheap phone. You know, the closest thing, I guess, was the XR. Mm. But even then, it was kind of in between the sizes. I'm very curious what that will do, because I think a lot of people would like the big screen, but the price is so ridiculous. And it is ridiculous. that they are put off by it. And I just wonder if Apple reshuffling the lineup again, like what that will do to the sort of average screen size and use, you know, that developers see. Mm-hmm. Because I think that a less expensive big phone would be popular. Again, more popular probably than the Mini. I mean, by all accounts, the Mini is not the hit that its fans maybe wish it was.
It's very true. Now, if you'll permit me, as someone who is a former devotee of the iPad Mini, I don't feel like I want an iPad Mini in my life. And yet I look at this new iPad Mini and it looks so good. And it sounds like, Rosemary, you have one. Mm-hmm. Steven, did you get one as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, please, that they're terrible and I do not need to get one, because I really do not want to spend any more money right now.
My main criticism is the fact that the color purple is kind of like a silver that once saw purple and is trying to recreate that very, very badly from memory. Like, that's my main criticism of it, because it's a very nice device. It is thicker than the previous gen iPad Mini, but other than that, it's, you know, the same width, a little bit shorter, and it just feels like a really great device to use, at least for my particular use cases. I don't know about you, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it has like, it's, I'm going to write about this, so I'm going to do my draft here. It has let the iPad like be what it wants to be in my life. So I've had an iPad Pro for ages, you know, with the keyboard, and then I got the keyboard and the trackpad, and I just don't work on an iPad. It just doesn't work for me, the type of work that I do, the way that I want to work. And so I've had this like really expensive, nice iPad with this expensive, nice keyboard cover, basically using it for video stuff, right? Like, and just not work. And like, oh yeah, like the iPad Mini does all of those things. And in a lot of ways it does it better, because it's actually a little bit smaller and takes up less space on the kitchen counter, you know, whatever I'm doing. And like just the other, just yesterday doing, had to do something on my truck, and I like had like the instructions. And normally I would have them on my phone, you know, and just like leave the phone on the dash and look at what I'm doing. I was like, oh, wait, I have an iPad Mini. And it was like perfect. Just like chunk it in the seat next to me and have the PDF up and I could see what I was doing. It's just, it fits in really nicely with how I end up actually using an iPad. And it's kind of freed me from the aspirational aspects that I always struggled with the iPad Pro.
That's fair enough. For me, it solves the problem of frequently I can't, you know, I can't take my iPad Pro with me because I'm using a too small handbag. And I get that this is a problem. I could solve it by, you know, getting a larger handbag. But equally, that doesn't always work with my outfit. Fashion first, people. But it is, you know, the ideal device to just kind of have with you and take with you, because this way, you know, I want to show, say, my friend some pictures that I took on holiday, instead of showing them on a phone screen, which, you know, is pretty good screen, but it's also quite small. I can show them on my iPad instead. And it is just the right kind of device for that. It's the kind of device that you take with you just in case you're going to have some downtime at the doctor's office where you're sitting in the car waiting to be called to go into the building for your appointment. And you can, you know, read on it or, you know, watch a video or something. And it does work for that. Whereas the iPad Pro kind of feels like, you know, you're bringing a machine gun to a, you know, judo tournament or something.
Wow, that's definitely not the phrase, but I like it.
I was running out of examples in my head, and that's what I ended up with. Sorry. But, you know,
yeah, that's really overkill.
Yeah, exactly. But that's just it. The iPad Pro frequently is overkill for what the vast majority of people need. And sure, I use it all the time. I even remote into servers and do work on them and stuff like that. And it is amazing for that. But a lot of the time, I don't need that. I just want a device that's like my iPhone with a bigger screen and can do most of the same things. And you know what? The iPad Mini is perfect for that.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. The thing that I think has ruined me and brought me away from the Mini, even though I used to love the Mini so much, is first of all, my regular carry phone has gotten bigger. You know, it's a far cry from the iPhone 5S or whatever. But the other thing that's ruined me is that I have an iPad Pro from 2018. I still haven't upgraded it, but it has a keyboard on it, and I did get the fancy floating keyboard. And an iPad with a keyboard is delightful. I have not been as delighted by iPads without physical keyboards. So how do you guys, how do you folks feel about that? Do you really miss having a physical keyboard, or is it not too bad? Like, you know, Rosemary, if you're taking it all sorts of places, perhaps it's better without the physical keyboard. But is that true, or do you still miss it?
I mean, I have a folding Bluetooth keyboard that folds down to slightly larger than the size of the Pro iPhone. And so, you know, I frequently take that with me because, you know, it doesn't weigh a lot. It goes in the same pouch that I put the iPad mini in. And then I do have a keyboard should I want slash need to type more things. And I do, you know, have ideas of things, and I end up writing, you know, tons of stuff by just pulling out my keyboard in a slightly awkward spot in the corner of a shopping center, at least I previously did before, you know, there was a pandemic and I stopped going places. You know, and I'm hoping that that will return at some point. But equally, it's just nice, you know, if I'm visiting my parents, you know, I don't want to take the iPad Pro with me. But equally, if they then need me to research some information for them or something, I can do it much more comfortably on my device with the apps and tools that I'm used to than trying to deal with them. What I do miss, however, is definitely the trackpad. I miss having the trackpad from the Pro iPad.
Ah, interesting. That surprises me. I wouldn't have expected that I would miss that as much as I would miss the keyboard. I don't know. Steven, how do you feel?
My hands are big enough where I can thumb type on the iPad mini in portrait.
Nice.
And so I'm just, it's fine. Like, you know, I've got a 13-inch MacBook Pro and it's fantastic. And now that it's silent and cool and has amazing battery life, you know, that's a pretty great portable. Mm-hmm. And so it really has not been an issue for me. You know, I think the bigger thing is, multitasking on the mini is cramped, to put it nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there are times where it's like, you know, it would be nice to have Twitter and something else open. Like, you can do it on a mini, and it's definitely perfectly capable of doing it, like running more than one app at a time. But it's the real estate that kind of lets it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not that surprising, to be honest.
Yeah. I have to say, so far, I've primarily been using it as a Zoom machine because center stage on the camera is hilarious for, you know, you're on FaceTime or something. And my grandmother is always so impressed whenever, you know, I quickly go and grab something. You know, she's asking me about knitting or something. So I'll go grab one of my knitting projects so I can demo it. And I walk back into the room and the camera, you know, spots me and goes zhunk and zooms in. And it's really dramatic and fabulous. And I like that. It's a nice feature to have. I wish the iPhone had it, to be honest, but I guess there's not enough room because it is a pretty tiny device in comparison.
Well, plus I think the assumption is that you're holding your iPhone a lot of the time when you're doing like a FaceTime or a Zoom call or something like that, and so you would pan or tilt or what have you in order to just center yourself. I actually agree with you, for the record. I think it would be great if you set your iPhone down, and if, you know, the accelerometer isn't really noticing anything, in the same way that, don't they do something different with night photography when they know you're on a tripod?
Yeah.
They'll allow you to do like a 10-second exposure or something like that. I would be perfectly fine if center stage only worked if it knew that the phone wasn't being held. Like, that'd be a perfectly fine compromise to me.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that it would be nice to have on the iPhone. I actually haven't, I don't have any devices with center stage, so I've seen it in use, but I have not used it myself, but it seems magical.
I use it a lot on both the 12.9-inch iPad Pro and the iPad Mini. And it is one of those things where I'm there and I'm talking to somebody on, for example, my Mac, and I'm expecting my camera to follow me as I move to one side or the other, and it doesn't happen. This is probably a good thing, but equally it is, you know, frustrating when you're there. Oh, wait, yeah, no, I have to, like, come back into shot on my office chair, which fortunately has wheels on it. But yeah.
Cool. Well, I appreciate y'all coming to hang out with me today. Casey, you should go get an iPad mini, it sounds like.
No, I don't want to spend any more money. Please, Dad, no!
I mean, it's not like there's Macs coming.
Yes,
soon.
That's the problem, is that I'm really hopeful that I'm going to be spending a whole pile of money on a new laptop. So, yeah, I gotta keep that wallet tucked away for now.
So, if you want to go find these lovely human beings, they've got shows on Relay there on Twitter. Casey, where can people find you?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Casey Liss, CaseyLiss, and certainly you can find me here on Relay with our mutual good friend Mike Hurley on Analog.
And Rosemary?
You can find me on Automators, hosted with David Sparks. And of course, we also have the Automators Forum and the Relay FM Discord, where I am frequently found in the productivity channel, usually talking about shortcuts. Other than that, you can find me on my website at rosemaryorchard.com or also on Twitter and micro.blog with the username Rosemary Orchard.
If you remember this not in the Discord, come check it out. It's a real fun time. I appreciate y'all, and we will be back next month.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.